Now, some of the stuff may be illegal in the Old Testament, meaning the Old Testament law, it was definitely illegal to eat things sacrificed to idols. It was definitely illegal to eat pork, you know, and other meats. But the New Testament, it's not. But again, how far does that go? When you provoke the Lord to jealousy. Again, so these things, careful with your knowledge, what you think you know. Because as Paul said, whoever thinks he knows something doesn't know it the way he ought to. To me, I take that as something that just keeps going. Again, all things, it's a figure of speech. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Wealth? I don't like that right there. It's an italics in the King James. They added it. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Good. That's what I would put in. If I was going to substitute a word, seek that we might edify one another. Seek that we might build one another up. You know? I mean, I'm not just, I have liberty, I can do whatever I want. No. I have liberty, but I want to consider my brother. That's what he's saying we ought to be. We got to seek one another's benefit. One another's good. Verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, the butcher's stall, meat market, that's what that is. That eat, asking no question for conscience sake. What he's saying, for your conscience, like, don't go in there and say, was this sacrificed to an idol? You know, because then if he says yes, what if you decide to take it anyway? Now the butcher thinks you're an idolater. If he has conscience, you don't know. Does he have conscience of the idol? I mean, maybe he just made a brother stumble. Or maybe he made someone stumble who's not a brother, but now God's going to hold you accountable for being so not considering that he might be your brother. That's the thing. We can be held accountable for whatever God wants to. Because he's judging his own works. So we don't ask. Now we don't ask that. We don't even consider it nowadays. Because we don't have a lot of idolatrous temple where they're having animal sacrifice going on. That the overflow goes over to the local butcher shop. So the nuts and bolts of this equation is completely, totally irrelevant to our current day and age. But the principle, as I said back in chapter 8, and if you didn't listen to chapter 8, I don't know why you'd be listening to this without listening to chapter 8. Go listen to chapter 8. You know, the principle is simply this. Knowledge does not commend us to God. Meaning, what we do based on certain knowledge that we have that does not pertain to salvation, knowledge of these other matters does not commend us to God. Showing off the knowledge doesn't commend us to God, neither does not showing it off. Meaning, like, let's say I have a knowledge. I think Jesus was crucified on a particular day. If I'm right, I'm not impressing God with my knowledge. If I talk about it, God isn't going to be like, good job, Paul, because it's totally irrelevant. And now, if I say that and I'm right and I don't say anything, God isn't saying, why aren't you telling people about this? This is important. Because it's not. See, he says, if we eat, we are not better. And if we don't eat, we aren't worse. These kind of things, what we do with them does not improve our situation one bit. We aren't better for knowing that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. We aren't worse for not knowing it, right? And if we are wrong, now it's just leaven. Now we've just brought in leaven if we're wrong. That's the danger of this kind of knowledge. It puffs up. It doesn't edify. Because you know what? You think you're edified in it, but if you're wrong, now you think, oh, I know I'm right. I did my research. You think you know you're right. You don't know anything like you ought to know it. Verse 26. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. That's Psalm, 24. Actually, a couple psalms actually start out like that. Let me see. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's. God owns everything. It's all His. We don't ask questions for conscience sake. We know it's God. You know, He's not. It's, remember, there's nothing magical about the idol's meat that's going to poison you or make you. You know, I mean, again, you don't ask about it. And what you don't know about it can't hurt you, as far as like if it was sacrificed to an idol, it's just meat. You know, there's no real power in that sacrifice. You know, an idol is nothing, though he says they sacrifice to devils. But again, like if someone went and took a calf and sacrificed it to a devil, right, and offered it to the devil himself, Satan. They said, I offer this calf to Satan, and did a ritual and sprinkled whatever, the blood over the goat's head and blood, you know, pentagrams and 666 they carved on the calf's head and did all kinds of satanic ritual that they could think of, right? And then secretly brought the meat to me, not telling me where it came from. Trying to curse me, it wouldn't work. It's nothing. God is more powerful. If I don't know about it, it can't hurt me. If I believe in it, though, it just may. Because that's how it is. If any of them believe not, bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. Meaning, this is easy to understand. Okay, and it gets more, because he's using, the analogy is hard for me to follow. Okay, meaning, because I want to draw you, because we don't have this anymore. This is so irrelevant to our times, as far as we don't have idols and we don't go to feasts where, like, where does this meat come from? Did it come from the Temple of Apollo? You know?